The following podcast is a presentation of Small Biz America.
This is the Jackie Jones Challenge. Now here's your host, Jackie Jones.
Hey, it's Jackie Jones with the Jackie Jones Challenge. And today my guest is Jay Lohman, the founder and CEO of thefreelancenation.com, a network of 119 local websites that helps freelancers find freelance jobs, self-employment support, and strategic partnerships in their local area. Hey, Jay, how you doing?
Great. How you doing?
I'm good. This is one of my friends from Blog World. Blog World was fantabulous. We just had a great time. Networking was outrageous, and we've made a lot of friends. And Jay is one of the friends that I've made at that event.
Well, you know what? I haven't heard one bad thing at all about Blog World. Everyone I spoke with had an absolutely wonderful time, not only networking with each other, but just all the neat stuff that we learned, you know.
I think it's
great that Rick and Dave Taylor spent so much time and effort to put that event on. And I think we all know that next year is just gonna be off the charts.
Yeah, so this was the first year, and for a first year event, it was well done.
Yes, it was. It was a lot of fun.
Great breakout sessions, wonderful speakers, keynote sessions. It was just the event to be at. So if you weren't there, you better look out for it next year and get there, because the Blog World New Media Expo is definitely the place to be. So, Jay, you fit into that new media market because you're providing virtual workers for this new era of that we're living in.
That's correct. We provide, what the Freelance Nation does is it provides a place where freelancers can go to source freelance jobs as well as self-employment support and network with other freelancers. It's also a place where small companies can go and recruiters can go and post freelance jobs for free and find the help that they need to run their small or medium-sized or even large-sized business.
Now, I've been learning a lot about this virtual network. I've heard of Elance, and Guru was new to me, but I knew that you could go there, and if you're looking to hire someone virtually, for instance, to say build a website or, you know, do some type of service that you can outsource from your business, you can go there and post the project that you want completed, and then people would bid on it. What I didn't realize was that the people that bid on those jobs, which you post for free, the people bidding have to pay to bid on those jobs.
Some people have to pay. There are some, matter of fact, I don't know of any service out there where you can post a profile as a freelancer and you don't have to pay for the profile.
Mm-hmm.
I think almost everybody does. However, one of our differences is that our prices are lower. It's only $4.95 a month, and for that, you get two profiles for the price of one. All of our other competitors only have one website. However, we have 119, and so we have this umbrella website, thefreelancenation.com, where your profile will go, and you will be a small fish in a big pond. And then we had the local websites like DallasFreelancers.com, LosAngelesFreelancers.com, NYCFreelancers.com, Seattle, Portland. All of them are what we call brand consistent. So it's all city name and Freelancers.com. I think the only two we couldn't get were Chicago and Atlanta. But if you go to the umbrella, you can find it. Anyway, so you get a profile in your local city as well. So you become a big fish in a small pond. And the reason why we did this is because we've seen and we know that the trend towards search is going local. Back in the day, it was a lot of fun, and when there weren't very many people on the internet, you couldn't find as many services as you can on your local site, so you had to depend on whoever you could find. However, with the proliferation of the internet, you can pretty much find any service you want to in your local area. So that's why we went out, snapped up all the URLs, and provided service for freelancers that they can be found on the local level.
So the benefit for the employer using your site would be?
The employer.
the person, you know, that's looking to find someone to do their job.
Not only do we call down the pool if they're looking for a local talent, which is a benefit for them because it holds there's more accountability if you're working with someone in your city or local area, because you're dealing with the same currency, you know, versus people you're working with overseas, same time zone, same laws, but also. One of the other advantages that we have is that we have blind bidding, and this is an advantage not only for the freelancer, but also for the person posting the job. The advantage for the freelancer for blind bidding is that when the job poster posts a job, and let's just pick out that the job's worth $1,000, he's saying, you know, I think this job's worth $1,000. On other websites, they have what's called open and reverse options, or open and reverse bidding. So you can see the bids that everyone else is putting on there. So let's say the job poster put the bid out there for $1,000. You know, freelancer X comes in at $900, another one comes in at $800, and $700, and you know, $600, and you start driving the price to the basement. What's even worse is that if it's not all local bids and you're now bidding against people overseas who can afford to work a lot cheaper, then it really, the price really starts getting low, and the serious veterans and those people who want to make a living doing freelance work can't afford to do it. So that's the benefit of blind bidding on the freelancer side. For the job poster side, you would think that it would be detrimental to them because they want the lowest price. However, having been in this business 13 years, I don't think I've seen one time when the lowest price was the best person for the job, and it in some ways protects them. And we put the onus on the person posting the job that if they put a job out there and it's for $1,000 and they get someone that comes back and says, no, I think the job is worth $3,000 and I'd charge you $3,000 to do it. And someone comes back and says, you know what, I'll do it for $50. Then we encourage them to maybe go back to the center of the pool who bid around, you know, around their price point. And then we have, and then they can go to their profiles and look at their profiles. And we have links back to their websites, the people that they can go back and do their own research. So, you know, so it actually protects on both sides, and it protects the industry so that people can actually make a living being self-employed. It's very difficult and very expensive, actually, to be self-employed. So we're just trying to help people.
What was your first experience, you know, being a freelancer online or going through a system like this that caused you to make the system that you currently have?
Let's see, I was freelancing for 2 years, really, before, and that was 95 and 96, before I really put a website up. I did put a website up in 96, immediately became highly intrigued in search engine optimization and adopted it. And so since, you know, 95, 96, I've seen the rise. I think job boards started coming online in the late 90s, and for a while it was good because there wasn't a lot of competition, and there wasn't a whole lot of international competition, so they were good for a while. However, I haven't seen any really evolve. They are still very, very, very huge pools of people. They don't do a good job of separating them out. Or filtering out to local levels. So I think it was really the open bidding that I saw, and I saw these services, and I said, well, there's a lot of them out there. However, they're not doing the industry any favors by this open bidding. So that was really what triggered it for me. I eventually grew my freelance practice into an advertising agency, which is where we are now, Tag Team Creative. But I always had it it always stuck with me that I wanted to circle back and develop this website, which is now a network of websites for the freelance community, because I know firsthand how difficult it can be to get started and or make a living. Well, I've been fortunate enough. I've been self-employed for 12, 13 years. So I've gotten, you know, it's been a lot of hard work and some luck along the way. But anyway, this was a site that I wanted to put up. It was a labor of love. We bootstrapped it ourselves. It's, you know, this is not going to be a money-making venture for us anytime soon. We just want to cover the hard costs, you know, the monthly server costs, and the rest of it's just investments, and we'll let it ride for the community.
Now, you said you started, you know, 12 years ago freelancing, and I happened to interview Ryan Alice of iContact this week, and he started, you know, at 13 with his first job, and, you know, at 17 was created a company and so on. So what was your first job those 12 years back?
My first job? Whew! That was a long time ago. I probably did some very small projects for some very small mom-and-pop companies, and I got those jobs through opening up the phone book and calling, I think. I remember I spent a lot of time, like I said, back in the day, just calling advertising agencies and small businesses and saying, you know, hey, I'm a freelance writer. Can I help you with any of your back then it was, you know, brochure content, direct mail content. Is there anything I can do to help? And I would get jobs, and boy, I know this kind of seems like forever ago, but it was a beating. And I would get jobs, and we would transact the content through faxes. So I would write the content, I would print it out, and then I would fax it, and they would look at it, fax it back with the changes, and we would go from there. When it finally went to digital, I think I had to save it to a disk and mail it to them. You know, that was, you're talking about time consuming. You know, now these days it's just right back and forth, but. Yeah, my first jobs were small. I was working for $50 an hour if I could get it.
So your background was a writer when you started?
Yeah, I was a copywriter. Yep, I was a copywriter. Actually, didn't mean to start out freelancing. I was fortunate enough that I did really well in school, won a lot of advertising competitions, and was pretty highly recruited by a lot of large agencies in New York, Dallas, San Francisco, and while I was kind of trying to figure out where to go, I started, you know, freelancing, and took off. So I was like, well, okay, let's just ride this for a while and see how long it goes, and never stopped.
So is copywriting something you learned in school?
Yes, yeah. Went to what was East Texas State University in Commerce, now Texas A&M at Commerce. Texas A&M bought it a couple years ago. And at the time, they were one of the top three schools in the nation for advertising and design and copywriting. And that's because we didn't have any teachers or professors, I should say. We didn't have any professors. All of our professors were adjuncts from Dallas. From the Dallas design community, Dallas advertising community, from such groups as the Richards Group, Tracy Locke, D.W. Needham, John Evans Design, Sippy Petit, who were living it, and, you know, who were living it day to day, and they didn't do it 5 or 10 years ago and were teaching us old stuff. They were teaching us new stuff.
Oh, okay, because I was wondering, because I meet a lot of people that are copywriters, but I didn't know that there was a specific degree for copywriting. I'm not even sure if they picked it up.
Actually, there wasn't a specific degree at ours. The copywriters went through the advertising school, and unfortunately there wasn't a copywriting degree, so I threw myself at the feet of the design department and asked him. I said, listen, I will take a few extra courses in writing, and let's take out some of these, you know, fine art classes, and I will help you develop a copywriting course for freelancers. And that's what we did. I ended up I think I stayed in school about another semester, but longer than I otherwise would have. But we did end up developing a copywriting course at East Texas State before I left.
Oh, wow. So it's still going on today, the course is available?
You know what? I haven't checked since Texas A&M adopted it. I don't know if it's grown or if they did away with it, but that's a good question. I should actually follow up on that.
Yeah. So how important do you feel it is for today's entrepreneur to have copywriting skills?
I think it's very, very important for today's entrepreneurs to be able to communicate their ideas effectively, especially verbally. Their copywriting skills need to be solid enough that they can communicate to a professional copywriter or to their advertising agency.
Okay.
So in terms of actual copywriting, I mean, I'll be honest with you, I'm a great copywriter. I'm not a very good editor. I hire editors to edit my stuff before they go to press. I'm more on the conceptual side. I'm very good at developing voices, style. So I think that it's good for entrepreneurs to be good at what they're good at and find and hire those talents that that will help supplement them. I haven't done any of my own bookkeeping or taxes for years because I found that I wasn't good at it. It was costing me more time and money, and I would make mistakes. So I could hire someone for less than it cost me to do my own taxes. So I would encourage entrepreneurs to focus what they're good at and then find partners or others that can help them, you know, supplement their weak spots.
Yeah, I agree. I let the people who are good at what they do that, and you do what you're good at. But
yeah.
I know I've done so many interviews and spoken to successful people, and it seems like even though you don't do those things, you should have a good understanding of certain parts of business, you know, like you said, with the voice, your marketing, and just understanding your books, even if you don't do them, you know, understand how to read them so you don't get ripped off.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. Yeah, I mean, I can look them over and I can see what's going on, but I don't have the time to put in every receipt.
Right. Yeah. No, that's not the purpose. You're out. Your minutes are better spent doing what you get paid well for, and you go ahead and sub out what other people get paid for.
That's correct.
So now, giving advice to the freelancer who may be just going into it, because, you know, like you said, it takes time and, you know, there's money involved, and just, you know, it's being a freelancer, you're kind of out there on your own, so it can be a lonely world. What is your suggestion for a person starting out as a freelancer?
Network, network, and network. whether offline, which I think is extremely underutilized today, but there are a lot of small business and industry networking events in your local area that you should attend and market yourself. If you're a freelance writer, was the question about freelance writers or about self-employed?
Just in general, people who want to freelance. What's ahead?
Freelance. So back to networking, face-to-face, get a website up so that you have some validity. Even the most trusted person in the world, you know, needs to have a website up, and you can get one of those up for probably less than $1,000, have someone just throw up a very basic site, you know, 3 or 4 page website, but have your portfolio online, do your taxes quarterly. That's very important. Also, do some math and find out what the least amount that you can charge, and don't go below that. So, and that's how I came up with $50, you know, years ago, was I did the math and I said, okay, as a self-employed single person, I was paying for my own taxes, my own 401k, my own, you know, health insurance. So you have a lot of expenses as a self-employed person. So you need to to spend some time, do the math, and figure out what the least amount is that you can charge, and don't charge and don't take any jobs less than that, because you'll end up paying the client to do their work.
Wow.
Develop a good portfolio so that you can show it off. See, network online and off. Yeah, utilize LinkedIn, Plaxo, Marzar, even Facebook and MySpace are moving toward being more professional services. Do surf and use services like the Freelance Nation to find work. Well, there are some others out there where you can, you know, obviously we think ours is better, but there's others out there.
Now, did you have words of wisdom specifically for freelance writers?
Yeah, well, I think that was, you know, just kind of, I was kind of speaking from a freelance writer perspective.
Okay.
So, but it does, as a freelance writer, I would say, and I ran into this several times, which is now why I hire editors. Make sure that your work is ready for press. And if you're a good writer but not a good editor, I would spend the, you know, it would only take a fraction of the amount of time it took you to write it for an editor to edit it. If you're an editor, I would say team up, or anybody really. It doesn't have to be just a writer editor, but I would look for complementary relationships. If you're a writer, look for editors to partner with, look for web designers to partner with so that you can cross-sell your skills. There's, I don't know how many times as a writer I would have people call me through my website and say, hey, we're getting ready to put up a website. We need someone to write it. Do you know anyone who can design it? And, you know, you get enough of those calls. It doesn't take very many, hopefully, but and you start developing relationships, which is another aspect of what we've built into the Freelance Nation, Collaboration Nation, which is essentially a glorified forum, but allows a place where writers, designers, and it's not just creatives. I'm in the creative space, but we have accountants on there, and tax providers, programmers, but it's a place where whatever you do as a freelancer, where you can search for those who have complementary skills and hopefully grow your business. That's how I grew mine. Wasn't just by winning big contracts, but was by finding people with complementary skills and teaming up with them.
So then you could refer business between each other?
Correct. And we ended up partnering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. That makes a lot of sense. And it's nice that you put that right there in the same place so people can work, you know, back and forth looking for jobs, or if something comes up, they can just shoot them right over to that site.
Yeah, we're trying to make it efficient for them. You know, I obviously can't be a one-stop shop for everyone and everything, but I think we're doing, especially for our first come out, you know, we've only started advertising since Blog World, so what, about 3 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
But we've already partnered with Jobster and Simply Hired. We have 3,800 jobs in there. We're looking for more, quote, organic jobs that go on the front page, but we're getting a lot of traffic. We've got, of our 119 websites, 56% of them are on the front page of Google. Another 22% of them are on pages 2 through 10 for search terms like find freelance work, find freelancers, find freelance jobs, et cetera. There's several keywords and key phrases that we're targeting. But it's getting a lot of traffic.
Cool. Well, hey, it's been awesome having you on. FreelanceNation.com is the website. Go ahead and sign up, test it out, check it out, get all the information you need to start making some money on your own terms.
There you go. The independent lifestyle is a lot of fun. It's also a lot of work. I encourage everybody to at least try it. Even if it's for a couple of months, you'll kind of experience, you know, that experience what it's like. But it's worth it for some people.
Yes, it's definitely worth it. Once you try it and you get the freedom of being your own boss and entrepreneur and making money on your own terms, and you'll just, if you're a true entrepreneur, you'll fall in love with that. So this is a great way for you to put your little toe in the water. To test it out and see if it works for you. And he has so many resources on there to help you out.
And I encourage people, we're still a very young company, and I'm still a very accessible person. So if you have questions, feel free to email me directly or call. I'm always in front of the screen, so if I usually reply back, or like I said, my phone number is on there.
And I was just going to add that. I was going to say, Jay's always there. So if you have a question, you know, he's really there. He will email you back or contact you. So get him now while it's small, because once it gets cheap, you're like, I'm just dead.
Well, thank you, Jackie. I really appreciate this.
I appreciate you, Jay. Thanks a lot. Have a great day.
You too, and thanks to all your listeners for spending time with us.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Jackie Jones Challenge. To find out how you can host your own podcast, visit us at smallbizamerica.com.
Small Biz America.